When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your host, Adam Thorne.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one
of
all time.
One, go. Enjoy the show.
All right, folks, you are in tune to the Joe Rogan Experience Review. This is your co-host, Todd Heath, with your host of all hosts, Mr. Adam J. Thorne, coming at you. Live and direct.
That's too much information, bro. We're not giving out middle names. Okay?
Oh, excuse me for throwing a J.
Damn
for
it.
Fucking
we're gonna
have to edit
Jerry. That out.
Jerry. Today.
Got your DJ voice on again this week.
Thank you. Every time
you intro us, you're like DJ. It's like wedding DJ Todd Heath.
Clearly DJ 86 from the fucking stage. DJ 86 coming at you.
I love it.
We've got Gad Sad. God Sod? Tough to say.
Yeah.
The man. Can't wait to read that new book, that happiness book. We've got Paul.
Yeah, interesting guy.
Oh, he's the best. Paul Rosalie, which I had never heard of the guy. Love him. He was my favorite.
Dude, have you checked out his Instagram?
Dude, yes, I did. And I
Unreal.
Saw, yeah.
What a legend.
So good. And then if we have time for Mr. Gaffigan, Jim Gaffigan, legend as well. Great week. What'd you think, Adam? Great week.
Dude, it was a good week. It was a nice mixture of like philosophy, you know, adventure, and then kind of just a legend of comedy. What I like about Jim as a comedian that comes on is he doesn't come on that often, and he just is a different type of comedian, a different style, and he's just always fun.
He's a Midwesterner for sure.
Yeah, right.
Gotta love those
potatoes.
Gotta love those Midwesterners. They're just down home, good hearted motherfuckers. I think we should start with Paul because I had the most notes about him. I feel like I had a similar upbringing. I mean, granted, take away me going to fucking Amazon, but I remember being little and I had this teacher in third grade who was all about the rainforest, and we learned, I feel like she was just, you know, a crazy old hippie lady. That was my third grade teacher. Like she had squirrels as pets, you know, she's one of those weirdos. But I loved her to death, and she made such an impression on me. She was one of those teachers that just made this crazy impression, and I remember thinking, God, we got to save the rainforest. And I'm like, you know, 7 years old thinking this. It sounds like
right.
Paul had a very similar thing, but then he moved forward with it and is, I mean, doing so much for the Amazon. I mean, God bless the guy.
Yeah, it was really cool to hear that, you know, he obviously had a popular Instagram and other connections, but it was kind of like when Rogan reposted that video of him in the Amazon with the fire,
mm-hmm.
that it really blew up. And what I thought was interesting about him saying that is I was like, oh, you think that you blew up then? You're on Rogan now, dude. You're about to fucking fly out the you know, off the planet with
rocket ship, bro. Rocket ship.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not hear that and be inspired to like do something down there? You know, when they're just gold mining and like ripping up land just to plant freaking yams.
Dude,
makes me not want to eat yams. I'm anti yam.
I mean, I think it's mostly for beef, but
it is.
Yeah,
sorry.
Definitely.
He said something about yams.
Okay, well, that's not true. So yeah, junglekeepers.com, checked it out. I mean, some of those, he had so many cool stories, but the snake stories are just insane.
Oh,
these
my
fucking
God.
Anacondas, 18 feet long. So this guy, okay, just to give you guys if you haven't heard the episode yet, this dude's from Brooklyn. At 17 years old, he somehow gets to go hang out with some rando. How did he meet this guy? He said he went to hang out with the macaws with some weirdo in the jungle.
Yeah, basically.
Ended up doing this and really just making an impression on this older gentleman that took him to the Amazon. I can't remember who that was. They talked about it right at the beginning. And then, you know, he just fell in love with this place. He, you know, he mentioned it numerous times about how he just had this feeling when he was little that he had to save the rainforest, right? He was like put on this earth to do that. And how fucking cool is that when you hear somebody who just knows exactly what they're here for? I just love hearing those stories.
Dude, you know, imagine how much, like, not saying his life is easy. He's doing crazy things.
No,
super
fuck
dangerous,
no, it's not.
Super difficult. But like almost how much easier is it if you just get this like intense desire to do something and you know from a young age, like, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right? You're like in your 20s and you just have this direction and purpose.
Yeah. I mean, every time.
I wish everyone had that.
Every
time. I
wish
I had fucking had that.
Every time I go to Pornhub, dude, and they're not there. No.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, I've lost my direction.
I don't know what I'm doing. Gold miners are going to kill you. I mean, he's talking about the jungle lawyers, the jungle keepers, which is his brand, his company, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
The lawyer of jungle keepers, the dad was whacked. The dad got fucking killed.
Jesus.
The lawyer's dad. Yeah, I mean, this guy was down there. I think this was early 2000s. Early 2000s. You know, he says he ran for 3 days. Just ran in the jungle for 3 days away from that tribe that he thought was, or away from the gold miners when he found out that he was there.
Yeah.
Remember hearing that? He said he spent a week by himself, camped on a beach. He said the world completely melted away. The animals are unfamiliar with humans, so they're not even scared of you because they've never even seen a fucking human being.
Yeah.
Giant anacondas. I mean, how about... He talked about walking on the water because you're on the tops of trees, right?
It was like floating grassland, kind of.
Yeah, but right? Also trees, like also on like the tops of trees that had been flooded, and he's just walking on top of this water, and there's fucking 17-foot anacondas slithering by, and then he's for some reason tackles a motherfucker. Then he tackles the anaconda. Who is this guy?
Yeah, I don't recommend
who's
any
this
of
guy
that?
From Brooklyn.
He's like a Brooklyn Tarzan.
Jumping on snakes in the middle of the night. You know how fucking batshit scared I'd be?
Dude.
I'd be like, Adam, get over here. I need your vape pen right now.
Oh, yeah. Forget about it. I can't.
Where's
the
ayahuasca?
You think I complain about bugs and graininess when we're camping in Montana?
Guys,
imagine how pissed off I would be.
Don't camp with Adam or do, because it's fun to make fun of him. This guy was in a tent for one night. Yeah,
dusty, grimy.
My God. You'd think that England didn't have dirt on the fucking ground. I mean, I would be scared of staying in the Amazon, yes, but we're talking about like sleeping on the side of a river on a beach. Like you might get bit by a spider and some mosquitoes. That's about it.
Yeah.
This guy's talking about getting fucked up by caterpillars with venom and Barbie caterpillars with barbs on the bottom that will numb his hand for like a week.
Oh, yeah, that sounded awful. Yeah. So many crazy. I mean, the fact that it was the middle of the night, super dark, he wraps his arms around an anaconda and he can't touch his fingers together.
Dude, that's a heifer. That's a heifer of a conda.
I wonder if he's exaggerating. Like, not saying he's
exaggerating.
I believe him to. Well, look, I believe that he's telling the truth.
Yeah.
But you know, when it's dark and maybe the angle was weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like trying to grasp his hands together, but there might be a bit of a gap. That just seems like, I mean, that's a giant, like a huge tree trunk of a snake.
Yeah.
That no one has ever found before. That one is like, I want to believe it because it sounds real Jurassic Park-y.
You ever
but
have
it's
like
almost.
A... Go ahead.
It's almost a lot.
It reminds me of being little. You have like everyone has like the big ant. You know, you go give her a hug and you can't wrap your arms around it. You imagine that with a snake?
Uh-huh.
Ugh, crazy, dude.
Yeah. Imagine how easily something that big could eat you.
I don't know. I
mean, a tree trunk wrapping you up. Like, you're so dead so fast.
Yeah. Yeah, and to think about the amount of diversity in that place, I mean, there are probably millions of insects that we haven't even... documented in there, and we're just cutting it down to fucking eat cattle. I mean, it's just so sad. It really is so unfortunate. Hopefully people will wake up. I mean, it sure seems to me like that is one of the last spots on the planet that is untouched, and we're just going to go bulldoze it down. There's got to be something we can do about this.
Yeah.
Because once it's gone, it turns into a desolate fucking desert. I mean, nothing grows. It just,
I think
once
the treehouse thing is really smart.
That is cool.
You know, it's kind of a shame that you got to turn everything into a tourist spot before anyone wants to take care of it. But there's also a reality to, you know, good funding. And if they could build, you know, a couple of hundred dope ass community,
I'd want to go.
Tree houses, and then, you know, rich people can go and enjoy it, and then they start donating in mass. Maybe they start buying the land. I don't know how it works, if you can buy land out there. I mean, maybe, but you know, it's just all about getting focus on it. And like you said, there's so much undiscovered, because Paul was talking about how most of the life is up in the canopy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get up there to like check all that out.
Right. When he's waking up in the morning and there's just thousands of fucking monkeys jumping around from tree to tree.
Yep.
Imagine how fucking cool that would be to go check that out.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I guess the positive thought in all of this is, you know, he mentioned that humpbacks were down to what, 120,000, and now they're back up to 5,000. Or sorry.
No, the other way around.
Excuse me. Yeah. Other way around. So now they're up to 120K. They were down to 5,000, and now they're up to 120K again after we put regulations on hunting for whales and that sort of thing. So, you know,
interesting story. When I was a kid, so my dad is big hippie, pacifist guy, and he was very connected to Greenpeace.
Mm-hmm.
It's an organization that would like, primarily, they were environmental, but they were primarily save the whales. And as a kid, you know, because I was really young, you know, so I just did whatever my dad was into, because you kind of do that when you're like before you're 10. If your dad's like, this is important, you just like get into stuff. And we used to, every year I would raise money for Greenpeace. So we'd do like long walks. So I did like a sponsored swim, and I did it every year, always to like save the whales.
Right.
Big thing. So it's really cool that, you know, the people that did that, it paid off. And now we have more of these animals.
It's amazing.
And what was that thing? The Sea Shepherd? They had that show. Do you ever watch that?
Mm-mm. I don't remember that. No.
It was like an anti-whaling show on like Nat Geo. And he just had this boat called the Sea Shepherd.
Okay.
And he would literally just crash into the Japanese research vessels that were always trying to kill the whales.
Well,
it was a good show. It was cool.
I'm just stoked your dad didn't have a gambling problem, and you know that the money went towards Greenpeace. Good job, Dad.
He didn't.
That's
beautiful. Drinking problem potentially, but
well, so do you and
hey,
I.
Hey, nobody's perfect.
Me too.
Nobody's perfect. Did you ever watch the movie The Medicine Man with Sean Connery?
No, but I definitely want to.
Yeah, he's
I fucking love Sean.
Dude, it's such a good movie.
We got a picture of him in the office.
Oh yeah, legend. Got to have that. And anyway, part of the movie is he like lives in the Amazon,
okay.
And he like finds the cure for cancer or something, but he can't remember how he figured it out. And it's basically just using, you know, this stuff in the jungle. And he just is like, spends the whole movie trying to like recreate his experiment.
Yeah.
And he just like knows the jungle, cares for it, like all this. Anyway, it had something to do with ants. I can't remember.
Well, dude, think about with ayahuasca. They had to find the plant, the vine, and then they had to figure out the bark that you eat to actually get to the, you know, so that your stomach acid wouldn't, you know, get rid of the potential medicine that was in the vine, right? It like breaks up the compounds when you eat both of them together so that it like goes into your bloodstream. How do you figure that fucking shit out? It's crazy.
Well, I don't know. They, you know, the weird thing about it is I think the two, like, I think the, like, roots or tree bark or something, the two parts
it's
of
bark,
it were, like, many miles apart.
Right.
So that's what made it so weird that they figured that out. But,
so cool.
Yeah, of course there's a lot of compounds down there that you don't find anywhere else on the planet, and they probably have really useful medicinal and psychotropic applications.
Well, Paul was saying he had that weird thing on his elbow, right? It was this crazy thing. I don't know if he got bit by something or what it was. Was that the caterpillar that he got bit by? or he got something happened with his elbow.
No, he had, didn't he have like a big cut, he said, and they rubbed some shit on it, and it like healed up fast.
Right. So what he said is that that guy that goes in the jungle with him, JJ, he mentions JJ all the time. It's like his homie that goes in the jungle with him. He's a native guy, right? Indigenous guy, yep. Knows the language, can go down there with him, you know, has lived in the Amazon his whole life. So that's kind of his guide. He said he went back to the States and all these Western fucking doctors, he had this crazy cut or something like on his elbow that he got in the Amazon and got infected or something. And it was this really weird, like mushy infection that no one could get rid of. And then he goes back down to the Amazon and JJ goes, oh, I just put this stuff on there. And he rubs some shit from like a tree branch, puts it on there. Next thing you know, gone.
Amazing.
It's like the amount of knowledge that these indigenous tribes have down there is unfathomable. It's just been passed down from generation to generation. It's like every single one of these people is a doctor in their own right. They know exactly where to go, what to do, what to use, and we've got none of that, really. I mean,
to know that stuff back then. I mean, but saying that, Todd, honestly, like 100 years ago, everyone's grandma knew how to cure a cold, how to deal with a flu. Yeah. You know, they used to do this thing in England where they would like add like
opium, honey
and onions together.
Mm, and opium.
They pour honey in a thing of onions in a jar and you leave it like a day or so and it makes like a liquid.
For what?
Like
for a cold?
Water. Yeah, for a cold, sore throat, anything. And you just spoon it into your mouth.
All right.
And people swore by
it. I'm into that.
But nowadays, we don't know anything. We go down to CVS, dude, and we get some bullshit. Swallow it.
Lame. Well, chicken noodle soup works pretty good. Homemade. You know, throw a lot of garlic in there, some honey.
That's kind of like the last of our knowledge, is like everyone at least knows that one.
I'm pretty sure anytime I get a BJ, I feel so much better.
That's not really like
that helps
medicine.
A cold. No, it helps a cold. It's absolutely medicine for my mind.
Okay. All right. Yeah, reasonable.
No?
I mean, it definitely lifts your mood.
Yeah, of course. Makes you feel better. I think women call it vitamin D. Anyway.
Ridiculous.
You are ridiculous. So, Rosalie, you got anything else before we move on? .org?
Where are we on time with this?
We are at a solid 17 minutes. I still have a lot of notes on Rosalie if we want to keep going.
Let's keep going. He was interesting, man. I liked it a lot.
Oh, yeah,
I thought it was interesting that using, like, so you can get lost in the jungle is what he was saying, which is, like, super scary. And you also really can't light fires because everything's wet. So sucks.
Can't find any dry wood.
But then he was like, you don't use a compass. Joe said, you don't use a compass. Because I was thinking, you use a compass. Well, I guess there's like high iron content in the tree bark in a lot of places. And it like actually messes with the compasses.
Messes with the mercury.
I'd like to know how true that is.
Is that a mercury thing? Messes with the mercury in the compass? Like old school?
No. A compass is just a magnet.
There's no mercury in there? Oh, no, that's a thermometer, you dumbass.
That's an old thermometer.
God, I'm dumb.
That is true.
But it's fun to put mercury in your hand. It's really fun to put mercury in your hand, though. You ever done that? It just rolls around like a little freaking amoeba.
Yeah, it's very poisonous, though. You shouldn't do that.
It looks cool. My stepdad gave it to me. He's probably trying to kill me.
But, yeah, so you can't use... You really can't, like, you can't look at the stars to orient yourself because it's too dark and the canopy covers
it. Yeah, there's too many trees.
You can't use a compass.
Right.
And you just get disoriented all the time.
Right.
I mean, it just sounds terrifying.
Oh, how
like,
about...
what?
No, that is completely terrifying. But what was even more terrifying is you shouldn't be scared, really, of the anacondas or the jaguars, but you should be scared when a tree falls. You better get the fuck out of Dodge. You better run like your life depended on it, because when a tree falls, it takes away, what, like an acre of land when it falls?
Dude, they're ginormous, yeah.
It takes down a whole acre block of trees and forest and monkeys and, you know, snakes and whatever else is in there. But man, what a paradise. I would absolutely love to go down there. That'd be so cool.
You're right. Go.
I would love to.
I'm not going. You tell me about it.
Well, I know you're not going. You're scared to camp on a beach.
I can't get it, dude. It sounds like it would be fun, but I bet it wouldn't be. I bet it would be super.
I would love it. Just give me on some ayahuasca. I'm in. Let's go.
All right. What about that Guns N' Roses story at the end?
Joe
ran into them in Greece.
Oh, yeah.
How fucking dope is that shit?
Yeah, I saw that tweet, or not the tweet, the post he had last week on Instagram with sitting with Axl Rose. Looks nothing like him, but he was backstage in Greece. Come on. Oh, he talked about that book again. I have got to read The Immortality Key, just to throw that out there again. They always talk about good books. That is the book I really want to read about, you know, them finding, the historians finding ergot in these old porcelain cups from way back, from like philosopher days.
Mm-hmm. Well, dude, what's crazy is after that guy came on Rogan, and he came on a few times, I think, that Harvard is actually opened an area of study for this in history class.
I remember that. Yeah, they made a class about it now. The Immortality Key, book about the wine vessels having ergot. Basically, ergot, you know, was found in these old-ass cups.
Yeah.
Porcelain cups.
What was that guy's name? Joe says it all the time.
I don't have his name. I just know the name of the book is The Immortality Key. And basically, they're having these secret... You know, it's like secret society where they're all taking drugs. I mean, think about it. We have this.
Oh, Brian Murarescu.
Okay. Thank you, young Jamie. Thank you.
Google it.
We have. It's not like it's a new thing for humans to want to get fucked up. I mean, let's be honest here. Everybody wants to change their reality, change their perception. It feels good. It's just like I look at my three-year-old and he's spinning around in circles to get dizzy. Why? Because it fucks him up. He loves it.
That's why kids love sugar. Get all pumped.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story. The sugar thing is probably way worse than some ergot here and there. You know, expand your mind,
yeah,
folks.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think ergot's going to give you diabetes.
Sorry for all the kids out there with diabetes. That is horrible.
Well, that's about it. We could jump over to over to good old Gad.
Gad Sad. What a ledge. I mean, just seems like the nicest guy in the whole planet. You just want to give him a hug.
Smart guy. Really smart guy.
I really appreciated this whole obsessing. Stop obsessing over issues you have no control over, please, for the love of God. Rob Reiner, there's plenty of them out there. They mentioned Rob Reiner a few times. Stop obsessing over stuff you can't change. It's turning you into a complete asshole. Everybody, whether it's your crazy uncle on the right, you know, listening to Alex Jones, or whether it's your crazy aunt on the left who, you know, I don't know, thinks that having no authority in a town like Portland is a good idea. I don't know. There's got to be a middle ground here, people. We're all under the same banner of the United States, and we're all getting effed in the A, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's come together. We say it a lot here, Adam. What do you think about that?
Well, we got to come together.
Got to come together,
we gotta, at least a bit. Like, look, we can have debates. They're fun. They're good.
Well, speaking
people
of debates.
People should disagree. I love it, but...
You know, I talked
to
my brother about this, about Peter Hotez, right? My brother is still under the banner of vaccines are amazing. I question them still. I did get vaccinated, but I question the reality of whether or not they really did that good of a thing. I don't know. I'm not saying what is right or wrong. I'm saying there's a lot of questions there. And why can't Peter Hotez debate him? And I asked my brother this. I said, dude, What would be the problem? If the guy's got all these answers, why can't he debate Joe? Well, that's just ridiculous. He's a scientist and he knows what he's talking about. Okay, then debate him. What we used to debate people in the 70s. We had people on the right, people on the left. We debate. That's what you do when you have a situation where people need to find out answers. Isn't that not the point of debating?
That pushback is
bullshit.
That, RFK is a lawyer. So he's going to be able to speak quicker and better. And they worry that Rogan already is leaning that way. So he has a potential bias. Here's my question to that. For one, there's like well over $1 million that is going to go to some charity.
Whatever charity
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I thought it was up to $2 million.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
If everyone pays, it might be. Right? So here's the thing about that. It's like, okay, so you think that by taking the stand of not doing this because you don't want to look bad and you don't want to misrepresent your point that you feel is so important to kind of, you know, portray about the whole pandemic COVID vaccine thing,
yeah,
that you're willing to not have these people donate. Well, then why not offer, if you can't stand the debate and so many people agree with you, why can't you just offer to have someone else who maybe is more confident at debating go up against RFK? It doesn't have to be Hotez. It's not like he's the smartest guy when it comes to this,
right,
especially if he's afraid to do it.
It's...
Have someone else do it then. Nominate someone else who has as much knowledge as Hotez but can speak better and think quicker.
Yep, exactly.
Get on there then.
Fine.
It's got to be someone.
Give me a lawyer on the other side, okay, that can speak lawyer talk and also is a scientist. Come on, folks.
I just think that, you know, there so many people are on this, like, one side, and they're all in their echo chamber of, like, agreeing with each other. Well, we all know that that was the right thing to do. Yet when it comes to the scrutiny of examination and pushback and questioning, even they know that the argument is starting to break down.
Well,
they know it, and they're not going to be able to hold up their end of it, and they can't admit that maybe they were not all correct about this.
I'm not saying whether one side is right or wrong, but if you think you're right, why would you not debate? If you think you're right, why would you not debate? And I have seen this guy Peter in his little freaking bow tie. He says, I saw that, and again, this could have been, you know, taken out of context. I'm sure it was. It was probably taken out of context, but I remember seeing a clip of him earlier saying that there's no way kids should take the vax. And then now all of a sudden, he's saying that kids should take the vax. I'm sorry, kids shouldn't take the vaccination. No way. I am in no way going to give my kid that vaccination. Why? Because that's what immune systems are for. Okay. That's all I got to say about that. We don't have to get into it anymore. What else did we have? We had Mbappe taking the Saudi deal. If we get into a little football action here, Mr. England.
No, he's not taking it either.
He's not taking it?
No.
How about the Tucker Carlson?
But that is a crazy amount of money.
Oh, dude. How about Tucker Carlson bringing Godzad into his house, being real nice to his kids. That was good to hear. It was good to see. See, that's a nice, I guess, way of showing that someone like Godzad, who is not a super Republican, and then Tucker getting along, right? We can all get along here, guys. We're all just humans on the same earth. Doesn't matter your political leanings.
Yeah. I'm curious about Tucker because now with his new podcast and the freedom that he has, I'm really interested to see where he goes with that.
He seems like more of an independent, does he not? He seems like he's leaning towards independent. Maybe I'm wrong.
He kind of leans towards, I wouldn't say conspiracy things, but he's been leaning towards kind of like the unspoken things in journalism.
I still
stuff that the mainstream journalists can't talk about.
Yeah.
You know,
I
because
still
it
think
goes against
douche.
Advertisers, it goes against government things. You
I
know?
Think he's
and
a
I like
douche.
I like that style. I think we need more of that. I think we need people that are willing to kind of question some stuff. I mean, shit, he
Absolutely.
Was on Fox News accusing the CIA of killing JFK.
Yeah, I would
that
say
that is a ballsy move.
I would say I never liked Tucker until he said that, and then I heard that he was a Dead fan, and I said, okay, maybe I'll give this guy another chance. I got an open mind. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's keep talking.
I'm just glad he stopped wearing bow ties, because he was wearing bow ties for a long time, and I'm telling
that.
You, just like Hotez, I can't take anyone seriously.
I can't do the bow ties. It's like, put on a little spinny wheel hat. Don't do it.
Exactly. It just reminds me of clowns.
Well, we're clowns.
Yeah,
so,
but we don't wear bow ties.
How
We'd
about,
be way worse if we did.
So is wrestling the hardest, most physically intense sport? Remember
it
they
depends.
Were...
look, it is. Very much so. Your endurance has to be massively high. You have to be super strong. Those guys are riddled with injuries, like them super athletes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what Gad was saying is, I think, well, he said physically fit, but I think he was meant to say the highest, maybe endurance. I don't really know how you would define it.
Mm-hmm.
What is the most physically fit? Is it a combination of strength and endurance?
Yeah.
Or is it just endurance? Because then that would be like marathon runners.
It's both. Because marathon runners would get their asses kicked real fast. They're so skinny, you know, and bikers.
Yeah,
like those, you know, guys in the freaking.
They were saying that Cam Haines runs like 200 miles in a row. So he can do 10 marathons in a row. And that guy is strong.
Okay. So that to
50.
Me. So you look at someone like Cameron or. I'm blanking the guy's name, the book that we read, the black dude.
Goggins,
thank you. David. David Goggins clearly would outrun anyone. I don't care how many marathons you've run, but you put him on a freaking bike and put him in the Tour de France, he's not going to beat, you know, Tadeo.
No, but it doesn't mean that you pick one guy and he can win every sport. That would be impossible.
Right. So, yeah, look, there's all sorts of different ups and downs with that. But yes, I would say physically strenuous, probably wrestling. I could see that.
Dude, it's got to be up there.
Physically
That's
strenuous.
That's a grueling sport.
And
grueling.
Then running. You know, I don't even think running was on the list. I don't even know if they mentioned running. I think tennis was up
there.
On soccer. There.
They said squash. I don't even know what that is.
Squash is like racquetball with a smaller ball. It's intense. Oh. I've played it. How about that Stewart? I remember when John Stewart kept saying the Wuhan lab. Sorry to get back into COVID, but that shit
let's do it.
Fucking funny. And Colbert's
dude, that bit was hilarious.
I remember
Colbert,
that bit. I remember that
so
bit.
So good. And John Stewart is brilliant. I love that guy.
I'd vote for him.
You know.
Run for president, John.
I love that he picks points now that are like, that are just, I mean, in a sense, picking the lab leak is like not even a very liberal narrative.
Not at all.
I mean, he's just starting to kind of really pick things that it's like, no, this is common sense. This seems very common sense, and we should talk about it.
Oh,
I love
so
that.
Fun. It was so funny. He's just going, oh, do you think that it came from some kind of monkey's elbow that mated with a baby?
Yeah.
It's like, no, the fucking name of the Wuhan lab leak. It was in the same exact spot. And now we know that's where it came from. It's obvious.
It's almost like they sent in the worst detective in the world. And he's like, I think it came from the market.
Yeah.
And everyone's like pointing at the lab. And he's like, nah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a coincidence.
Oh, the market that everyone who worked at the lab went to for lunch. Yeah, it probably did start there. Yep. It was like a fucking block away from the lab. Crazy, Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, I think it was like actually a few miles, but
whatever, dude.
Still in the same fucking area.
Don't fuck up my narrative, okay?
Dude, you're spreading misinformation, and we're gonna get flagged.
Hey guys, this isn't the news. It's called a podcast, okay? That we don't get our news from Ben Shapiro either, okay? Don't do it.
Right.
Everything in moderation.
He's definitely much smarter than we are.
Well, that's true, but he's still not reporting the news. Tucker Carlson, so I'm going to give him a chance again. Why in the hell are we not talking about this happiness thing? Let's get into the book for a second, because the book sounds amazing. He said, you know, he brought up his cousin. Godsad brought up his cousin. His cousin was so mad at him for going to talk to Tucker Carlson that he didn't fucking talk to him again. This is a cousin that fought a war with him. And these
that
are the
was
things.
Wild, dude.
And these are the things that are breaking families. I mean, think about when, you know, the vax versus the non-vax people. This happened in my own family. People not going to Thanksgiving dinner that year, and people getting pissed off, and everyone hating each other because of,
oh, dude,
you're killing people.
I've got
people.
Two good friends in New Mexico that I've known forever that may or may not have gone to Austin with us recently.
Mm.
And I
love
them
to
them
death.
So
love them
much,
to death.
Great guys.
Yeah,
I talk to them so much less since the arguments that we've had during the pandemic and COVID stuff.
Really? Like still?
Dude, they're so on board.
Bro, still?
Well, I think they're just struggling with the fact that now it's like pretty clear that they, you know.
I thought we squashed that after all those mushrooms we ate in Austin.
I don't know. I don't hear from them that much. And I always used to.
Maybe you should have taken that opportunity on the shrooms instead of going to bed like a little biatch. Because you ate too many mushrooms that night and buildings were stacking on top of each other.
Yeah, that was a hell of a ride.
I had so much fun that night. I melted into the ground for like 5 hours. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, not saying that we're still not close. We are, but it's like...
I know.
It's like people get so exhausted.
Yeah.
Even trying to continue their own narratives that they have basically been trained to believe that they just like have to go back to their echo chambers.
I know.
Because they can't continue to wage that war that they want to believe.
I get it. I told my brother to listen to RFK. I said, look, I'm not saying that this guy is going to be our next president and you should vote for him. I'm not saying that. I said, I like the guy and I like what he had to say. And I feel like there's a lot of truth in what he had to say. And he just went fucking off on me like RFK was some sort of fucking moron. And I said, dude, shut the fuck up and just listen and then talk to me. And he goes, all right, I'll give it another chance. Because at first he'd only listened to the first 20 minutes and then wanted to go off, like you said, on an echo chamber, tell me who RFK was. I'm like, bro, I don't need to hear.
Who does he want then? He wants Biden?
No, he thinks Biden's an idiot too. He was just saying that there's a lot of conspiracy behind what RFK is saying. And it's like, yeah, well, that's how the fucking people want. That's what they want us to think, that this guy's a bozo. He's not. He's been a lawyer his whole life. He's not a bozo.
No,
and that's all I was saying.
Not.
I'm like, this guy's smart. Just hear him out. You have an open mind. And guess what? 2 days later, he calls me. He goes, you know what? I listened to it, and you were right. The guy's got a lot of good points. He goes, I didn't believe a lot of the shit he was saying, but a lot of the stuff, you know, I did. And thank you for talking me into listening to the whole thing. Because I was like, dude, just stop fucking yelling at me. I literally am just trying to tell you to listen to a podcast, and I had to hear a 30-minute diatribe about how I was wrong, you know?
Well, I think it's great. That's a great example, right? Of
right.
Like, if you are going to choose to hate someone, learn about them.
Right.
Listen to a lot of their material. Don't just say, no, that's bullshit.
Right, right.
Listen to a lot of it.
Thank you.
And see why you hate them. Don't just hate someone. It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
I do not dislike anyone that I haven't heard a lot of.
Right.
Like the ladies on The View. I've seen that show a lot, and I can't stand them.
Right.
I'm just
like,
throwing that out there.
If you got a friend that you know, had sex with your ex-wife, you can hate that person. Okay? You're allowed to hate that person for life. But some guy like RFK that you don't know much about other than what you've heard on MSNBC or even Fox, I don't think they like him either. Nobody likes him, really, in the news. Just hear him out. The guy hasn't had a platform to talk on. We don't even know what he's about because he's been so shunned.
But I think more importantly here, shout out to your brother for like taking
Scotty.
The time to do it and then having like the maturity
he did
to change direction when he hears something that it's like, oh, that actually fits with what I believe.
Yeah,
I'm willing to like give this person a chance.
I'll read you the text.
Not many people will do that, dude.
No, not many. I will. I will. I'll read you the text because I was surprised. I was surprised about it when he finally fessed up. Anyway, I'm not going to be able to find it right now. Should we go into Gaffey?
Let's jump over to Gaff. Let's finish up there. We got what, like 6 minutes left? How much we got?
We are at 38 minutes, my friend.
Okay, so 7 minutes of Gaff. All right, good Gaff.
Oh, wait,
he's
hold
got
on.
A new...
Hold on,
all
right,
come
2
on.
Seconds.
All right,
2
it.
Seconds.
Read
he gave
it,
he gave,
it,
he sent this back. He said, because, again, he literally just, for a half hour, went on and on and on about how RFK is an idiot, and I just, like, sitting there, like, dude, I just was trying to tell you to listen to a podcast. Like, settle down, dude.
Settle
I'm not
down.
Trying to get into a debate right now. He said, we'll have a conversation about this later, but I wanted you to know I gave RFK another chance and do agree with a lot of the stuff he says, and I got cleared up on his actual vaccine stance. He just loses me when he says some of his wackier theories. It's like Bernie, but with a side of QAnon. So anyway, shout out to my big bro. Gotta love that. All right, let's get into Gaffey. Like Gaff again.
Fair play. Fair play. He needs to eat some meat, but otherwise, the guy's great.
Elk is good for you, son.
Have a chicken.
All right.
So Gaffigan's got, he's on his 10th special.
Love it.
That's super fucking impressive. I would say all of Gaffigan's specials are fantastic.
Yeah,
they're all definitely worth watching.
Midwestern dry humor. Love it.
Yeah. One thing I do miss, and I haven't seen the new one, but like I think on his last special, maybe the last two, he used to do this thing way back in the day where he'd like whisper.
Mm.
And he would pretend that he was doing the voice of the audience and they'd be like, why did he say that? And he would just like repeat. And so I good. Always found that was so uniquely him and so perfect.
Right.
That when, as he's done less of it, maybe he just got bored of it because he thought it was too gimmicky.
Maybe he started taking,
bring that back, please.
Maybe he started taking pills.
Fucking good.
Maybe he started taking Western medicine for his problems.
Yeah,
no. So
well, he might
ego.
Start taking testosterone after this pod.
Yeah, well, sugars.
So Joe and him talked about taking
horrible.
Testosterone. Mm-hmm. You know, he often comes on and talks about fitness with Joe, which I like. You know,
well,
I don't
he
think he's like made any changes, but he likes to. Yeah,
he wants to
he
know
likes
how,
to ask the questions.
He wants to know how Bert is still the machine. How Bert can be Bert still to this day. It's called testosterone.
Dude, you don't get the name the machine. Unless you can redline your whole life, and that's just no. But
unless you can hang out with Russian mafia folks and steal shit,
100%.
Oh, I got a lot of notes. I got a lot of notes here on Gaffey. What do you got?
All right, you just go. You do
no,
your
no.
notes because please do them,
dude. I'm not trying to cut you off, bro. What do you got? What do you got, bro? You start.
Well, they talked about a lot of fucking eating plastic. In the ocean.
Well, we all know that's going to be a struggle for years to come, right? I mean, maybe the amount of whales that we have back will just eat it all. We're not eating whales, so they'll just take
Can't
it on their
stomachs.
Can't
we genetically engineer whales to actually be able to consume plastic and live on it?
I'm pretty sure if we just studied fungi a little bit more, we could just throw some of that in the ocean and it'll eat all that shit up. Like, that's what's happening in... they found out that there is some sort of fungus that will eat plastic. I'm sure it's probably buried now by our government because it doesn't make money. But you would think that, and that is a conspiracy theory I just made up. But you would
we don't need any more, Todd.
No, have you not
we
heard
got
of
enough.
This? Have you not heard of the fungus
no,
that
no,
eats plastic?
I heard about the fungus. Yeah.
Okay, so fucking sprinkle some of those spores into the ocean. Let's go. The problem is, that. We have an issue with the acidity of the ocean, right? And so, fuck the plastic. Once all of the, you know, we're worried about plastic here, guys. I think we're worried about the wrong thing. It's called the acidification of the ocean is scarier than the fucking, you know, Pacific gyre that's floating around the size of Texas. Yes, that is a big problem. But all the coral reefs are dying right now. It's 120 degrees in Arizona for a month straight.
Have you seen any of these? That is a serious problem. Have you seen any of these dying coral reefs?
Yeah, dude. Absolutely. Have you? I went to Hawaii, and the reefs were in beautiful condition. This is probably 10 years ago. Beautiful condition. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Went back to the same spot 10 years later. Dead. Like, almost
dead.
No shit. Almost dead. Why? Sunscreen. And heat.
Oh,
and this is a very
you know, I have heard that sunscreen is
sunscreen
real bad.
Is horrible. It's all these petrochemicals.
Don't wear it.
Petrochemicals. Well, you need to wear it, son. You are a white boy.
Okay. I'll wear a hat.
Well, good thing it rains a lot in England, but you don't live there anymore.
I'll wear a hat and get an umbrella.
You do wear a nice hat. Thank you, REI.
I don't really wear sunscreen. There's a lot of weird chemicals in that.
Don't use fluoride either, which is probably the reason why you have zero cavities or all cavities.
No, I have no.
That's amazing.
Go to the
from not using
my teeth
fluoride.
Are strong, dude.
I like that.
Strong.
It's all those cigs.
I think dentists are a racket. I don't trust them. It's not a real doctor.
Let's get into real quick since you're about to be a dad and I am a dad already.
Yeah.
You know we
got to cut this off at 45. So
all right, we got 1 minute. I'm gonna start talking about these teenage kids these days. you know, everyone's talking about, oh, I didn't have any sleep last night because I had to change a poopy diaper. I've been through that. It sucks balls, but you don't remember that stuff. Like, it goes away quickly because your kid grows up so fast, you don't even remember the poopy diaper part. You're just like,
okay,
fuck, now he won't listen to me, right? Now think about when they're teenagers and they're out at a party all night. Do you think you're sleeping? Fuck no, especially if you have a girl. You are not sleeping at night. You are freaking out. I would much rather change a poopy diaper than think about my 13-year-old girl getting railed with, you know, by who knows who at some party.
Yeah.
Scary
well,
biz.
She can't stay out at 13.
Oh, well, whatever. 19.
Party
18,
at my house.
17, 16.
Yeah. Dude, they're gonna explore eventually. You just got to hope that you taught them,
I know,
you know, some good morals.
Put them on birth control. I get it.
As a father, you represent yourself by, you know,
by buying a gun,
married or dating responsibly, and yeah, not, you know, taking advantage of women.
That's really nice. Is this 19 fucking 60? Jeez Louise, settle down. Good luck with that.
It's the right thing to do. But then they're on their own, dude. They're on their own. So you just got to take a deep breath.
So buy a gun.
All the animals leave the nest.
Okay. Buy a gun. Buy a gun. Scare all our boyfriends. We'll end on that. Okay.
No.
Let's go.
Terrible. All right. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate you as always. Email us with any questions, suggestions, whatever. And Todd, you're the best.
I love you, buddy. Peace out, y'all. Thanks for joining. Later.